And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, you've been watching politics for a while. Is there some rule, I don't know that it's a law, but is there some rule that says that incumbents should never lose elections or should never stand down?
Well, incumbents, if there isn't, the incumbents always think there should be.
I remember Strom Thurmond. He was in office until he was over 100.
That's correct.
Now Chuck Grassley announces that he's going to run for re-election if he gets re-elected and he lives. He'll be over 100 by the time his term is over. Maybe he'll file for re-election again. And then we have the case of Dianne Feinstein, who apparently, aside from having lost most of her memory, now is suffering from shingles, hasn't been in the Congress all this year, with the result that Biden can't get any of his judges nominated because of the way the rules of the Congress go. But it's because of her infirmity. She can't show up. So what's the story here?
Well, don't forget Mitch McConnell.
Oh, Mitch McConnell, right.
He's there. Although I'm reminded back in the 60s, we actually have a picture in our office of President Kennedy visiting Berlin, that famous visit he took, riding in an open-air car. And you can actually still see some of the ruins from World War II in the background. Mm-hmm. And he's there, and in the car with him are a young Willy Brandt and the Prime Minister of Germany, a guy named Konrad Adenauer. And if you remember,
Chancellor.
And if you remember what his nickname was Der Alte.
Der Alte, the old one.
The old guy, old guy. Yeah. He was in his 80s as well.
But in his 80s, he's already young compared to some of these people I'm talking about.
Some of these people, yeah. Yeah, well, I actually, and I mentioned to you, I was actually at a briefing back in the 90s by Chuck Grassley, 93. So 30 years ago, I ran into Chuck Grassley, and after the briefing...
30 years ago, he was a senator then.
And after the briefing, because this was in Congress, we were walking in the halls, and Strom Thurmond scurried by. And he was in his 90s at that point. That's one of the things about democracy, or at least the American form of democracy, is if the people keep electing you, there is no term limit. You can
Term limits.
There could be. Take a constitutional amendment.
Why? Don't we have term limits in other legislative bodies?
Yeah,
governors in many states can only run once or twice.
Yeah, the states. California has that.
Yeah. Doesn't Pennsylvania have that?
Governor has term limits.
Yeah.
Governor has term limits. Look, Virginia has a term limit that's only one term.
Right. So why would we need a constitutional amendment?
Well, because the federal government doesn't have that.
But couldn't the Congress legislate term limits for the congressman?
That'd be interesting. Because, you know, somebody's going to take it up to the Supreme Court and said it's not in the Constitution. I suppose they could.
But lots of things aren't in the Constitution.
Who's going to vote for it in the Congress?
Well, none of the incumbents, that's for sure.
Yeah, to do away with their own. You know, right. Pennsylvania legislature doesn't have that. We have a judiciary that it can only serve to age 75. The interesting thing is it used to be 70. And then you had to take senior status. And for some reason, the Republicans backed a bill, a constitutional amendment that allowed the Supreme Court justices to serve till 75, even though the majority of the court was at that point Democratic. So we've got, I think next year we're going to have three Supreme Court justices, all Democrats, running only on the yes-no to to retain them for another term rather than being, I think, one or two of them being timed out of office because of age. So
it can't be good for democracy for people to be in office 40 years. It's just impossible. I mean, how does that provide for new currents of thinking to emerge?
Well, there's something to be said for institutional memory and learning how to the ropes. But yeah,
you can have you could one institutional memory hire somebody as a consultant to tell you what went on.
But that's right now. That's the argument for the election. I mean, that was AOC's argument against Joe Crowley when she got elected a few years back.
What was her argument?
Well, that it was time to change. He'd been there for a long time.
Well, it's not a bad argument.
No, that he was out of touch with his district.
With the base.
Don't forget his district demographically had changed.
Well, if the demographic of the district changed, why shouldn't the representative change?
That's it. Of course, then they always. But when you have the reapportionment that happens every 10 years, then you have, they try to correct that. Remember, they always say under gerrymandering, it's the congressman that selects or the state rep who selects their constituents rather than the other way around.
That's exactly right, and that's not right. This business of single member districts and of districts in general is, lends itself to such cheating, such anti-democratic practices. If you had some form of proportional representation, you probably wouldn't have half the difficulties you have with people hanging on for no reason at all, or minorities being able to exert the majority control no matter what. You'd be able to have the influence of working people more strongly felt. And certainly you could have election campaigns that would be on substance. The power of money would be lessened if there was proportional representation of some sort. It seems to me that the current structure of the electoral system is designed to be anti-democratic.
Well, you hit on the power of money. So the power of money is not going to change anything.
No, the power of money isn't going to change it. You've got to counter it. You've got to regulate it. I hate to say it, regulate.
Of course, you've got a Supreme Court that doesn't want any types of regulation.
No.
Not even for themselves.
Especially not for themselves. Clarence Thomas not be allowed to be a cheat and corrupt and live high on the hog and do what he can to benefit from the benefits he gives to the people who benefit him?
Yeah, this week we found out it's not just him now, it's his mother that gets the benefits.
Mayor Daley said, if you can't help your family, what's the point of politics?
Hey, well, at least he was open about it.
He was open about it. That's exactly right.
You know, we have all these. We talked about Mitch McConnell. I mean, how much did his wife's family that runs a shipping empire benefit? Elaine Chu.
We'll never know because nobody pays attention to that.
She was the Secretary of Transportation.
Yeah.
We have that. How much, Joe Manchin's family?
What a standing disgrace that is.
Yeah. All these conflicts. Look at Nancy Pelosi scuttled the proposal that congressmen should not be allowed to own private stocks.
Right.
That's something that I think really needs changing. We've seen that.
Not her finest hour.
No. Those conflicts of interest. And what that does is not only does it breed corruption, but when people find out about it, and more people are finding out about these things, it breeds, it undermines the legitimacy of government and the processes of government, there's not without good reason. The problem is that then that gets exploited by the people who are much worse in this, you know, the Steve Bannons of the world, who don't want any controls on their ability to grift. By the way, they're talking about controls. That's one of the hidden things that's involved in this abortion pill controversy that's going on. This week we had Justice Alito putting a stay on that really radical decision by that one judge in Texas, and by the way, who has a life term. There is no term limits on that kind of a judge.
And he's in his early 40s.
Yeah, so he could be there for a while. I mean, there are things they can do. They can create another judgeship there, which would lower his power by 50%, but still, it's a crapshoot. But anyway, besides that, the power of the government to regulate certain things, the FDA, and that's one of the undercurrent issues. There was a case this week that was decided. It was decided unanimously, but there was a subcurrent there as to whether or not judges for the administrative agencies are allowed to really do their job, since they're not what we call Article III judges. The Constitution provides Article III for certain judges to go through an appointment process by Congress. And these judges who work on certain other administrative matters don't go through that process. Now, of course, what that would do would be to throw the whole idea of the administrative state into chaos.
Which is, of course, the aim of the Bannons.
Yes, yes. And they've got some support there with Clarence Thomas again and Alito and possibly Gorsuch there. So that's something that could be watching. I know I do a lot of Social Security disability, and we have judges. We're not Article III judges. I mean, who's going to decide whether, are you just going to have the bureaucrats decide and not have an appeal process, or make the appeal process go to the federal?
But they don't want the bureaucrats to decide either. They want the Congress to decide. In other words, you'd have to litigate your case in Washington. How is that going to work? But it can't work. Of course you have to have an administrative structure to a government of 300 and some odd million people.
You know, but until the New Deal, we never had that.
Yeah, but we didn't have 300 million people either.
I know. But I'm just saying, when I went to law school, one of the first year law classes was administrative law. And as I said, that doesn't have a long constitutional history. It only goes back to the New Deal. And it's a different type of conceptualization as to how government should work.
I hate to tell you this, but going back to the New Deal is going back over 110 years. Well, the country is not that old, you know.
Well,
that's a large chunk of the country's history.
It's 90 years, Jake. 90
I'm sorry.
Years.
I'm sorry.
90 years. I know you're at your age, you're getting a little.
It's actually 90, maybe 93 years. Right?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, well, roughly.
Interesting. My administrative law teacher was the son of Eric Severide.
Oh, really?
yeah, Peter Severide. It was a good guy. He was he was very very good teacher. Very good teacher. So anyhow, we've got that kind of stuff going on, and I mean we've had a lot of legal stuff going on this week, not just on the abortion issue.
Well, one thing we had that wasn't—I suppose it was legal, but I don't know what you would call it. What do you make about this leaker, this gamer who managed to figure out how to download 300 top secret documents and spread them among his gamer buddies, and nobody in the government knew it for about a month or two?
Yeah, I mean, it's scary. And
well, maybe not all of this stuff needs to be classified.
Well, but I think some of the stuff that he did leak was.
Well, that may be true, but the point is, in the stories about the entire surroundings of it all, it turned out there were over 1.5 million people had the security clearance that he had that gave them and would give them access to these documents. Well, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. And they wonder why he, you know, in his position, was he Air National Guard or something?
Yeah, he was Air National Guard, and he had some coordinating job.
You know, on the other hand, a lot of the stuff that involves computers and stuff, they need young people because they've grown up with it. They're the ones that really know how to work these things.
They may need young people, but do they need to classify all this stuff? Is all this stuff that's classified? I mean, lots of people who are involved in top secret stuff say there's just overclassification. It's been like that for years. So much stuff is classified that nobody knows about anything.
Yeah. Well, Donald Trump says, I just have to think about it and I can declassify it.
Well, all right. Donald Trump is a world-class idiot. But the point is, and Biden made a funny statement. He said he wasn't concerned about the content of the material. He was concerned about the leak. But why be concerned about the leak if the material itself you don't have no concern about? It shouldn't have been classified.
Yeah, well, I think that was just trying to downplay the seriousness of it.
I get it, but it points a spotlight at the fact that stuff that is classified, lots of it ought not to be classified.
Yeah.
Then you'd have a better chance of keeping secret what ought to be secret.
Yeah, and a lot of that, it was just to, government has tried to classify things. And this goes for the state as well, their FOIA requests, Freedom of Information Act requests, to hide stuff from the public, hide things that are going on.
That's right. And I read about this guy, who he was, as did millions of people in the Washington Post in the morning. In the evening, Biden made a statement saying, we're close to closing in on this guy. All of our government agencies are working on it. We're identifying the guy. Meanwhile, the Post had already published who the guy was. The whole thing is weird.
I know. They arrested him. He was sitting on his front porch reading a book.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And the Post itself made the point that in the afternoon of the morning that the Post printed everything there was to know about him, in the afternoon the government agencies still hadn't interviewed his friend who gave all the secrets to the Post, who the Post, told who it was. So there is incompetence, massive incompetence. And if that's the level of your incompetence, stop classifying stuff that you can't keep control of. Pay attention to the three things you can do good instead of the 103 things, 100 of which you can't do at all.
Well, that story is going to, there's going to be more to it coming out as time goes on here.
Meanwhile, Marjorie Taylor Greene says he's a great hero.
Yeah.
This wannabe Nazi, which is what he is.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at his background, you start looking at the background of him and these protesters on January 6th, the rioters that Marjorie Taylor Greene so loves. And a lot of them are racists, anti-Semites, or at least espouse those philosophies.
You mean there's a difference between espousing the philosophies and being it? Not in life.
Not in life, yeah. The Venn diagram overlap is probably about 98 or 99%.
Exactly.
By the way.
Okay, I mean, you could have a best friend, but other than that.
Talk about, some of my best friends are. But, what about Governor Abbott in Texas, where they have this guy who's proudly a racist?
The guy who killed the fellow in the Black Lives Matter demonstration?
Right.
Murdered him in cold blood. Everybody knew it. Was convicted by the jury.
Right. Then virtually the next day, Abbott says, I hope to pardon him very quickly as soon as the pardons board gets through its review.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, a lot of the information that wasn't even in the jury has been leaking, and it'll be interesting to see how whether Abbott goes down that road or not.
But do you doubt that he will?
Given what's come out.
But does he care? I mean, he would regard that as an affront or as a weakening of his power.
Well, yeah. I think what he saw it as was one of these cases of stand your ground. And that's where, if he goes through with it, that's where he's going to hang his hat, so to speak. But it's pretty despicable to undermine a jury. But this is what they do. They the power plays. I mean, him and DeSantis and the Tennessee legislature. They're just it's all power plays.
Tennessee legislature, I was shocked to see, didn't throw those two fellas out again.
I'm not sure they could throw them out again.
Why couldn't they? Why couldn't?
Well, I think they'd have to get a new reason. Let me put you that way.
Why couldn't they say because?
Well, I think that the law is pretty clear in Tennessee on that. But as a practicality, I think they're recognizing what kind of a blunder that they made. And hope that just things quiet down and people forget about
But that's not likely to happen, is it?
Well, I mean, these two guys going around the country, they're raising money and whatever.
And that's why you want young people in politics, because they have the energy. They can do it. Believe me, if they expelled Dianne Feinstein, she wouldn't be running around the country at rallies.
No, but do you want a guy like that 21-year-old who just leaked all that information in your...
No, I don't want him, but I have nothing against a 21-year-old per se. These guys are pretty good. These two representatives are pretty good.
Yeah, these two guys are pretty good.
If you like college graduates, one of them's a graduate of a pretty prestigious college, Baldwin.
Yeah. Now, you got, on the other hand, you got George Santos, who's a young guy.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not making a case for youth as the be-all and end-all. I'm just saying that it's a characteristic that has to be considered. And that age is a characteristic that also has to be considered.
Don't forget that there's a minimum age for serving in Congress and serving in the Senate and serving as president.
That's right.
But in those days, when you look at 25 and 30 and 35, those were middle age back in colonial times.
Age is all relative. Alexander conquered the world. He was 19. Don't forget that.
I'm sure some of his generals were a little bit older.
They may have been, but he was the leader.
He was the leader. On the other hand, we haven't had many Alexanders since then.
No, but the point is, it's policies that matter, but you can't write people off just because they're young. You have to see what their qualities are, and there are many good qualities that young people bring to the table, one of which is they're not yet corrupt in general. There are plenty of corrupt young people, but in general, old people have had more chance to learn to be corrupt and to be beholden to corrupt interests, private interests, than young people. Young people come in saying, we'd like to remake the world better. In general.
Yeah. Now, this week we had Bob Casey announce he's running for his fourth term.
Right.
He's in his 60s, but
just a youngster compared to.
And the Republicans, either Dave McCormick or Doug Mastriano, are going to be younger than Casey.
I won't make a case for Mastriano's youth as a virtue.
Remember the famous line Reagan, I won't exploit my Walter Mondale's youth and inexperience.
Right.
They had that one set up.
But let's face it, look at Paige Cognetti, the mayor of Scranton, young woman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she had two strikes against her, a young and a woman. But could you really compare her adversely to what preceded her? I don't think so. She's infinitely better than what preceded her.
Well, Oh, yeah.
Who are in jail. He's in jail.
He's in jail. He's in jail.
So,
although Evans, the guy who took over in the interim, did a pretty good job. He was no youngster, but there's no substitute for character. Okay,
there's no substitute for character or policy,
and experience. Let's face it. There's certain things that experience.
Certain things, but
us.
You know, in terms of American history, Hamilton had no experience structuring a government.
No.
Jefferson had no experience running a government, and so forth and so on. So, you know, people rise to the occasion.
We hope. We hope. And then certain people who've had a lot of experience, like James Buchanan.
Don't.
He's one of the most experienced people we've ever had.
And that's a strike against experience.
Right.
Ideas count. What's in your head? What your policy decision? Right. Who you serve? Who you think needs to be helped? Yeah. That's what matters.
Yeah. Donald Trump never ran a government.
Well, he never ran anything. Except
he ran,
private affairs.
And he ran a lot of that into the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
He may be running more into the ground. He was deposed this week on his tax case. But he did sue Michael Cohen.
He sued Cohen for $500 million, which may be something that's going to come back to bite him in the tush.
One would think that Cohen would sue him back and take some interesting depositions.
Yeah,
in the case. And meanwhile, Jack Smith is out there, quietly but very quickly going after things, subpoenaing people. And
apparently expanding the scope of the inquiry.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the one I think that Trump has to really, really worry about. Although we do have indications from Georgia that there was a pretty expansive probe down there. Meanwhile, a lot of it's going to come together on this Fox lawsuit that's starting this week.
Fox Dominion.
And, Dominion looks like it has a very strong case, and they're wondering why Fox hasn't settled. My opinion is that they haven't settled because Fox wants to be able to say, we settled and we're not admitting anything. And Dominion wants to say, no. Oh. You know, you've covered up everything on your broadcast as it is. You're going to have to come out and sign a statement saying you did all these things. They were all wrong, and you're going to have to broadcast it over and over and over again on your station.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's the issue. And they won't. Fox doesn't want to do it. And that stubbornness by the old man, Murtaugh, may bring him down.
Murdoch. We'll find out. You know, he it could be a bad year for him. I mean, he just got a divorce, and then he got engaged, and then he broke off the engagement.
Well, the immigrant who made his fortune by promoting anti-immigrant lies deserves everything he can get.
So. Yes. Yeah. He's been one of those people that's been most detrimental to the United States and to democracy.
To democracy. He didn't do too good a job for the English. He wasn't very good for the Australians.
No. There's a guy even when he was younger. So.
Yes.
Now that he's an old guy. Doesn't matter. He started at a younger age.
He started at a younger age with the same rotten ideas, and he's experienced in applying them. In that respect, experience and age doesn't help at all.
Nope.
But it's true. The base of it all is, what are your ideas? Who do you serve? Who do you want to benefit? And with that, we come to an end for this week.
Remember, this is the week we commemorate Paul Revere's ride. And those patriots on the green in Lexington and Concord.
In that case, we better remember the bad guys are at the gate.
The bad guys are at the gate. We also have to pay our taxes this week, too.
Yeah. See you next week.
We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.